Peter Pomerantsev is a British TV producer and developer. In 2006, he was invited to be a player in the booming Russian TV industry. So he moved to Moscow to help develop TV shows based on already successful models from the UK, like The Apprentice. But the Russian television industry was unlike anywhere he'd ever worked. Russian TV audiences were even stranger. He told Steve Paulson about his new job.
My mission was to go to the heads of Russian TV channels and get them to sort of essentially let us make sort of successful Western formats for them, like The Apprentice, Come Dine With Me, Survivor, any of these things that we've known for a long time in the West. So I would go and meet with channel heads and, you know, try to persuade them to let us make these programs for them.
Now, you were brought in specifically to work on some of these reality shows that had been very popular in Britain. And, of course, a lot of the American reality shows originated in Britain as well. How did that translate into the Russian television scene?
Well, I did lots of stuff. I did factual entertainment and sort of classical reality stuff. But basically, virtually all Western programs, they're based on something we call aspirational. They reflect the aspirations of society. So take something like The Apprentice, which you must know in the States. Mm-hmm, Donald Trump doesn't in the States. I don't need to explain the rules. So it's all about somebody working very hard, coming top, winning, being really extrovert and bright. And the thing is, when that translated onto Russia, it didn't work because nobody in Russia gets a job through a job interview process. You get a job through connections, by knowing people, also maybe by even paying a bribe. And also, bright extrovert people aren't particularly rewarded there. The sort of the fashionable type of person there, the guy who wins, is the Putin type, who works from the shadows. You can never tell what he's thinking. He's always manipulating people. Bright extrovert people are like, you know, Khodorkovsky, who's this oil baron who's in jail. So sort of like, you know, that whole value system just isn't applicable in Russia. So we found that most of the shows just did not resonate, even though they were very, very well made. The shows that did resonate were stuff. Survivor did very, very well. You know, the show Survivor, which is basically taking people, putting them on an island and humiliating them. And Russians loved it. They love anything based on humiliation because so much of their life is about being humiliated by the state, being humiliated by the weather. And so they can completely relate to that. So there was a real ideological breakdown when we moved into there, which was, I don't know, again, I think Speaks was amusing because it's only television, but actually I think Speaks of a deeper malaise in Russia as well.
Hmm. Now, of course, the premise of reality shows is that it's all it's not scripted. I mean, this is stuff that's really happening to people. You know, various people are thrown in together and you kind of see what comes of that. I could imagine that maybe there was some suspicion about that. I mean, whether were these shows actually unscripted?
The ones I worked on were. That's maybe part of the reason they failed. But in Russia, there's a very, very old cynicism from Soviet times about television, because in Soviet times television was purely about propaganda. I mean, it was just such blatant lies that it was, you know, nobody believed it. So there's always this cynicism about what goes on television and whether television is a trusted medium. And like in the West, where however cynical we are, it's still sort of a friend. So Russians are very, very jaded about TV. So the audience is already skeptical. Then there's another problem with making reality in Russia, and that's the producers. Because when you tell them, look, you know, this is reality-based, you know, you have to sort of cast the characters and produce them, they're like, no, there's no way you can do this. People can't have freedom. You must script everything. And there's this terror of freedom, which, again, I think, you know, sort of reflected the politics of the time, where sort of, you know, democracy was being rolled back very, very strongly in Russia. And the Kremlin was inventing something called sovereign democracy, which is basically democracy without the democracy bit, where everything is scripted. And so, yeah, there was this overall terror of letting things be and a freedom. And that made making it virtually impossible because, you know, you'd make it and a very skeptical audience would say, but this isn't real. And they were right. So reality shows never took off in Russia the way they took off in the West.
Hmm. What about the news shows? How were decisions made? And was it real news? I mean, were there different viewpoints presented?
No. I mean, it's all about the enemy. It's all about identifying the enemy. They're out there without ever saying who they are. So that's the thing. That's a Kremlin policy. You know, that's a very old Soviet policy. They like to give this illusion that they're giving sort of something about Russia and something about the world. So you can often start with a typical news, I will start with, you know, we have problems in Russia. Let's say we have an economic problem. It's terrible, but we'll deal with it. The next piece of news will be the economic problems in Britain are much worse. So we're all right here in Russia because it's much worse over there. Then there's always something with Putin, the prime minister, doing something heroic. But it sort of follows this sort of like, you know, chapter by chapter breakdown every time.
You say another tactic was to have the president or to have Putin meet at a table with all the governors. And you describe it almost like Marlon Brando in The Godfather.
You have to understand, Russia in the 90s was completely and utterly dominated by gangsters. They were the most successful people in society. They were the richest people in society. They were sort of the sexiest guys in society. And the people around Putin, his PR guys, they completely understand that for Putin to be successful, for his image to work, he needs to act like a gangster, because that's what success is in Russia. Right. And so that sort of defines the way he speaks, the way they dress him. His usual dress is sort of a black polo neck with a black jacket over. That's the way a Russian gangster would dress. The dark glasses, the expressions that he uses at press conferences. There's a very famous expression he used after a Chechen terrorist attack. Is like, we will get the terrorists on the shit. It's a real Don Corleone or even sort of a Scarface type phrase. You know, we'll go and get them when they're on the loose and blast their heads off. And also in the way he talks to his cabinet, he talks like a mafia leader putting down his lieutenants. It's just a style of presentation that's sort of successful. Hmm. So that's why it's adopted.
Now, you also write about some TV shows that they're actually quite successful, kind of a quasi-documentaries. Like, there was one about mold.
This was, I don't know if it's changed since then, it was the most expensive documentary in the history of Russian TV. It was very, very beautifully made, very, very expensive graphics. And it looked like a very sensible Discovery or BBC nature documentary. And it was about the way mold is taking over the earth, and that we're all under threat from evil mold, and the mold will come and get us soon, and your children will die. And when I first switched it on, I thought it was a satire, but it wasn't. It was completely serious, hugely successful. You know, all these old grannies were running around sort of the next day shrieking about how the mold is coming to get them. Yeah, and so that was very, very, very strange.
Wasn't there another very popular documentary about the psychic powers of the government?
Yeah, that was hilarious. That was called The Call of the Void. And basically, it alleged that the government had, and this is completely serious again. I mean, I thought it was a satire. It wasn't. It was completely serious in prime time, produced by a ministry. Again, very expensively done with expensive reconstructions. Looked just like a Western TV show. So it was basically about the way the KGB had these things they called sleepers. Sleepers are special psychics who can go into a deep trance and get into the brain of opposition politicians in different countries. And they'd been saving Russia over the last 15 years. They'd managed to get into Bush's brain and realize he had this evil plan to, I think it was, kill Yeltsin or something. And then they'd managed to get into the brain of one of Bush's assistants and stop him from fulfilling this plan. And all this was, you know, given completely seriously. And in a way, when something is said so seriously and so convincingly, you kind of go, well, maybe they do have that. And, you know, there were witnesses there and experts talking about it and little machines showing the science behind it.
How do you think this kind of show plays to the people who are watching?
Well, the whole point is, I think, firstly, to impress you. Like, my God, you know, we may be, you know, we might have lost the Soviet Union, but we have sleepers. So let's feel good about ourselves. Firstly. And secondly, well, listen, if the government can get into Bush's mind, it can certainly get into your mind. So we know what you're thinking. We know where you've hidden your money. And suddenly, you know, the civilian is sort of just like in a state of anxiety that, oh, my God, what if they get into my mind? And, you know, it sounds ridiculous. It really does sound ridiculous. But when these films happen all the time and they happen in prime time and they're told in this very authoritative pseudo-scientific language, you know, they start to have a psychological effect.
Weren't sitcoms also pretty popular when you were there? Even though sitcoms have pretty much disappeared from American TV.
Yeah, well, there are some, but not many. Russia is a bit behind the loop in terms of sort of genres because it never had anything in the Soviet Union. So, yeah, sitcoms are suddenly really in. And the Russians have now writing them themselves. The first, they were just buying them and copying them shot for shot. Now they started writing them themselves, and they're actually very, very funny. So, yeah, sitcoms are big. But it was funny when they were just translating them from the West. They did Married with Children, huge success in Russia. And they bought it from Sony, and Sony consultants came over and taught them how to do every shot. And, you know, the hair of the wife had to be exactly the same and all this stuff. And it ended up with absurdities because, I don't know if you remember Married with Children, Saw it once. And there's a staircase in the middle of their house because they live in this sort of suburban, you know, two-story house. In Russia, nobody lives in houses. No middle-class family lives in houses. They'll live in apartments. So, you know, this typical Russian apartment had like a staircase in the middle of it because the Russian producers weren't allowed to change anything. And so it was just absolutely ridiculous. It was just there are no two split level, you know, apartments in Russia unless you're incredibly rich. You know, there were these little absurdities that popped up. When you look at Russian TV now, if you go through it very, very quickly, you'll find basically this is the landscape. You'll find propaganda news, then propaganda history stuff, which is the same sort of thing, and then sitcoms. So sitcoms are just everywhere at the moment. And it's sort of, I think sitcoms are great, but I think when you only have sitcoms, when society is just sort of like filled with this fake canned laughter all the time, I think that's quite worrying. A society that is only watching sitcoms and propaganda news is in a pretty weird place, I think.
Peter Pomerantsev is a TV producer based in England. He wrote about his time in Russia for the London Review of Books. Steve Paulson spoke with him.